Hello, everyone. I am your host, Michelle Earhart, and it is a little bit after 3 on Thursday, which means it's time for another episode of the Tom's Hardware Show. Joining me today is Jared Walton. We're going to be talking about the 3090 Ti and also giving you an update about the future of the show. But before we get started, let's play the intro. Jared, so as I said, we're talking about the 3090 Ti, which, as I understand, you're in the middle of testing. How's that going?
It's going. I mean, it's what you would expect, right? It's their same GPU that they've used elsewhere, just clocked a little higher, a few more execution units, shader units, whatever you want to call them, are enabled, and it costs more. But they have made a few changes that will be beneficial. $500 beneficial? No.
Right, that's what I was looking through the official specs because you wrote an article yesterday going through it. You said this is like about 10% more performance than the regular 3090.
Well, that was a baseline estimate. That was before I had a card, before I had r run benchmarks. NVIDIA said it was 9% faster on average. But, it's the same thing with Intel and AMD. When they give you a number and they say, hey, our scores show it's this much faster on average, you can always like drop that a few points. And so, depending on what you're doing, I'm seeing differences of anywhere from 3% to as much as 12%. Average is probably closer to like 6 or 7%, and that's with the Asus card that I've got for testing running overclocked.
So this is
Not
MSRP.
overclocked like by me, but like factory overclocked.
Right. So this is MSRP $2,000 compared to the 3090 $1,500 MSRP. Of course, that's just the MSRP. The graphics card market is Wild West right now, so I don't
It's
know what it's
getting
going to
better. It's
end
getting
up costing.
better.
That's true. It has been dropping, but I don't know what that's going to end up costing. We haven't done our testing on it yet because they haven't seeded Founders Edition units to us. Well, we've
Yeah,
done some of
as
our
far as I know,
testing,
they're
though.
not seeding Founders Edition either. Like, I don't know. Like, we would have to buy one if we want a reference clock. And I mean, theoretically, I could just, set the clocks and the power limits on any 3090 Ti card to the reference settings, and it should be pretty close to what you'd get from the reference card. We just wouldn't have like exact noise and temperature and things. So,
I notice that sometimes you're using NVIDIA Broadcast to cut out your fan, but sometimes I hear it coming in and I'm like, is that the GPU or?
no, it's I don't it so I've got case fans and liquid cooling and stuff in my PC that's right next to me. And this is a Blue Yeti microphone, and they are like ultra sensitive. So,
Yeah, I'm using a Blue Yeti as well. So I was just wondering though, with that kind of power overwhelming, as Ruruchu
yes.
M says, what kind of cooling it runs. But this is a good time to remind everyone, now that I'm looking at a viewer comment, please feel free to drop your comments in whatever box down below throughout the show, and we will address them as they pop up. Ruruchu M, fan of the show, it's good to see you again. I notice your icon is a red panda. I am curious what you think of turning red. We've been talking about it so much in our office lately, we can't stop talking about it. But in the meantime, Jared, what's your big takeaway from the 3090 Ti?
Well, so if you look at current prices online, the 3090 still is going for like close to $2,000. So by that metric, it's not that bad because this is faster than the 3090 card and the 3090 Ti. The biggest advantage, like the slight increase in clock speeds and the extra two streaming multiprocessors, those don't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things. What really is beneficial, I think, for the cards themselves is that they're now using 2 GB GDDR6X memory chips from Micron, clocked at 21 gigabits per second. And the 3090 was 19.5 gigabits per second. but they were 1 gigabyte chips. So if you looked at the PCB, you had memory on both sides of the PCB in, I think they call it like clamshell mode. It's one of the things that most memory specs for graphics cards allow, is like you've got 32-bit memory channels, and so you can stick a chip on that channel, or you can stick two chips on that channel and each gets like 16 bits kind of thing, or they share the, they kind of act as two banks. So moving all the chips to one side, and let me, let's see, what's a good card to show this on? Well, this is not a 3090 Ti. This is a 3080 12 gigabyte from MSI.
That's not just a desk?
No, it's massive. It's big. It's actually heavier, I think, than the 3090 Ti I have. But I just want to point out that, like, if you look at this, you've got this massive heat sink here, right? And all of that presses up against the GPU and the memory. And then on the back, you've got this metal plate or ceramic plate or whatever, plastic in some cases. I'm pretty sure this one's metal. But the point is, like, there's no connection between this and the fans. There's no active cooling of this, really. It's all just by dissipation. And I mean, like, the back of 3090 cards, it gets hot. Like, I've tested a few of them and they get toasty. Like, if you run a bunch of gaming benchmarks like I do and immediately tried to shut off the system and grab the graphics card and pull it out, it would hurt your hand. It, like, it's probably running at close to 75, 80 Celsius.
Do you ever see that clip in Malcolm in the Middle where Reese is baking some like cookies or something and it beeps and he doesn't have any gloves and he just reaches in and takes it out with his bare hands? That's just what that made me think of.
So yeah, I haven't pulled it out of the oven before like that, but I've grabbed things out of the oven and set them on the stove, and then like you turn away and you come back and you don't have the gloves on anymore, and you go to grab it and you're like, ah.
So what kind of cooling do you need with that kind of heat then?
Well, I think the bigger problem is what kind of power do you need, right?
Yeah.
So you were triple. Saying- Triple 8-pin connectors are kind of the standard, and those get converted into the single 12-pin NVIDIA connector. That it's funny because it's, depending on the card, it's either a 12-pin or the new 16-pin PCIe 5.0 power connector standard. I believe the ASUS card I'll show you in a minute. It's got a 12-pin adapter, but the card has the 16-pin connector.
You were saying earlier this morning, it's like, what, 500 watts that it needs?
In overclocked mode. So ASUS, a lot of the manufacturers, they have modes on their card. So you can flip a switch on the card that's between quiet and performance modes. Quiet, reduce the boost clock by like 30 megahertz or something. Maybe it's even 60, I don't know. And it reduces the power limit by 6%. Performance is at 100% power limit and, you know, whatever they've set their boost clock to. And then if you install the ASUS GPU tweak software, then you can enable OC mode. So it's fully supported and it's manufacturer warranted, but that will boost the power limit by 6% and boost the boost clock by 30 megahertz. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily translate directly into 6% more power, but it's probably pretty close to that. And I think the ASUS card is 480 watts default power, total board power. And so if you engage OC mode, I need to look it up. Sorry. And I think it might be 510 watt or 500 watt, but it's one of those two. And it's going to be probably pretty close to that if you're fully utilizing the graphics card.
Gotcha. So how does that power drain compare to the base 3090, or I guess even the 3080?
Right. So the reference card, the founder's editions of the 3090 were 350 watt TGP, total graphics power. The reference 3090 Ti is 450 watt. Most of the factory overclocked cards from the add-in card partners, I'm seeing 480 watts as kind of the typical power rating, and then some of the cards are like 500, 510, 530 in overclocked modes. And you know, they can definitely pull that much. I should say, so I'll hold this up, because again, this is the Supreme X MSI card. This is a 3080 12 gigabyte, but it looks virtually identical to their 3090 and their 3080 Ti Supreme X.
Do you have a 3090 on, or 3090 Ti on hand that you can compare it to, like on camera?
Not on camera. I have one somewhere. I think it's in the box.
Okay.
But my point for holding this up is, the 3090 MSI Supreme X, I believe when I was testing it, power draw hit like 420 watts when you use the, you know, default overclock, factory overclock mode. So when you compare it to the factory overclock 3090s, it's really probably only going to do maybe 50 to 80 watts more power. It's not going to be 150 watts more power. If you compare it to the reference founders editions of both, then it is 100 watts more power. You know, and I don't think it will always use that much more power. It will depend on your workload. But if you're playing games at 4K, you're probably going to come close to that mark, because the 3090 was power limited, meaning, you know, it's got the same TDP as the 3080 Ti. They're both 350 watt cards. The 3080 is a 320 watt card, and the 3080 has higher boost clocks typically than the 3090 because it has fewer cores running at higher clocks. So that kind of cut into the benefit of buying the higher 3090, and so the add-in card partners boosted the power limits and made it so that the 3090 could run faster, which in turn kind of cuts into the margins that the 3090 Ti is going to give you.
Right. So we have some viewer questions that I want to get to, and I know you sent some charts to me, but before that, just because we went through a lot of nitty-gritty stuff, let's back up a little bit. So this takes more power, gives you like 5 to 6% more performance most of the time, maybe 9 to 10% in a best case scenario. Costs $500 more in the best case scenario.
That's the worst case scenario, maybe. Like, I think in practice it might be more like $200 to $300 more, given current market conditions.
Okay.
Probably. Because I don't think any of the 3090s are currently selling at $1,500. I think they're mostly going for $1,800 and above.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not great. That just means the 3090 itself is also overpriced.
The average eBay price on the 3090 for the last week for sold listings is $2,100, for what it's worth.
Okay. I mean, we don't know what the 3090 Ti is going to, what kind of markup it's going to get. But like you said, it's getting better. We can talk about that a little bit later too. But I run down these stats real quick, because who is this for? Like, who is not served by the 3090 that will be served by the 3090 Ti and is willing to like spend a few hundred more on such an incremental improvement?
You want the real answer? It's for rich kids or kids with rich parents who are braggarts and want to brag and say, I've got the fastest GPU.
Yeah.
Because NVIDIA pitches it as a content creation GPU, and they say it's got twice as much memory as the 3080 Ti, and it's a little bit faster. But in content creation workloads that use more memory, that's the key, it can be like 30 to 40% faster, and it can enable you to run tests, or not run tests, but run workflows that would exceed the 12 gigabytes of the 3080 Ti and therefore fail to run in some cases, you know. So you'd either have to change your workflow or get a card with more VRAM. Well, so guess what? NVIDIA has a card for that. It's called the NVIDIA.
Instead of the A series or the Quadro.
Yeah, why wouldn't you get the, well, it's no longer Quadro. I don't know why they killed that name, but they did. But the NVIDIA RTX A6000 is basically the same GPU, but with 48 gigabytes of memory. You know, so it's like, if you really need a lot of memory, that's what you get. And you get the professional drivers that are tuned for SolidWorks and Maya and, you know, all these professional applications. the Titan card used to have some of those tunings. The modern GeForce RTX 3090, 3090 Ti, they do not have extra like acceleration compared to the, formerly Quadro card, the A series. So if you use one of those professional applications, you need the A series. If you do content creation, like you're making games or you're doing video processing that's really demanding, like 8K video maybe, or you're doing 3D rendering and you want large models, the extra memory can help, but then you go, well, are you going to be good with 24 gig or do you need 48 gig? So it's kind of this weird thing. And it's still marketed as a GeForce card. Like, let's keep that in mind. NVIDIA says it's not for gamers, but I'm like, but it is for gamers because you called it a GeForce.
Right. I mean, they say you mentioned this in your little news write-up for it, since we can't do a review right now, but you mentioned this that they say it can maybe do 8K gaming, which you expressed some skepticism towards.
Well, it all depends on how you define 8K gaming. It's like, well, certain less demanding games can run at native 8K. Demanding games, not a chance. I mean, let me give you an example. Total War Warhammer 3 at 4K Ultra, about 50 frames per second.
On the 3090 Ti.
Yes. So scale that up to 8K, four times as many pixels. There's no way it's going to get 30 frames per second, let alone 60. But then you say, well, what about games with DLSS or some form of image upscaling? And then it's like, well, yeah, maybe you could do so upscale 1440p or 4K to 8K, and you can get playable results. But not all games support image upscaling. Not all upscalers are created equal. Like all these caveats. And fundamentally, it's a 3090 plus 5 to 10%. So,
So, like, are you really, is the 3090 Ti going to be able to do that much more with games that the 3090 could not
Yeah,
already do?
exactly. So, I mean, I guess if you skip the 3090 for some reason, then suddenly you're flush with cash and you're like, no, I have to upgrade now. Because the thing is what's really bad about this timing, and this is why they really wanted to launch this at the end of January, and then there were some delays because of some problems. They've never said explicitly, but there's rumors it was the GDDR6X memory or the interface or whatever.
Right. That actually brings us to
4080's
some.
coming, right? 4090's coming. Like they're going to be at in September probably, maybe October, but like do you really want to spend $2,000 on the fastest card only to have like I have a Titan RTX that I've tested. And the 3090 is something like 50% faster than the Titan RTX or 40% in games and sometimes more in other workloads. And it's like, well, gosh, imagine if you'd bought in a Titan RTX right before the 3080 and the 3090 came out. You'd feel pretty dumb.
Right. So that actually leads us to a couple of viewer questions that I wanted to make sure we addressed. Javier Perea asks, why is this card taking so much time to be developed? Is it not the same chip like the 3080, but with overclock? Is this card going to live in parallel to the new 40XX cards?
Well, people will use it when the 40 series is out, to answer that last part. Too late? I like for most of us, yes. Like for people who are following the hardware enthusiast industry, yeah, absolutely. Like there's no way you should buy the 3090 Ti 5 or 6 months or less before a faster, newer, better replacement with Ada comes along. But if you have more money than sense, go ahead, whatever. It's
I
your
mean,
money. Do
I
what you want.
suppose so too. The RTX 3090 already, in my opinion, is a more money than sense card. I think most people will be served by the 3080. So I suppose there's, if you're selling to that market, there's not an issue with releasing now, and you don't necessarily need a justification to do so.
So I'll give you a few reasons why they're releasing it now, I think. One, so it uses the same GA102 chip that's in the 3080, 3080 Ti, 3080 12 GB, and 3090. It's also in some of the A series cards. But now, a year and a half, over a year and a half after that chip launched, they've probably now got yields to the point and supply to the point where they're like, we can actually do chips that are fully enabled. So these are 84 SMs, streaming multiprocessors, out of a potential 84 SMs. So you need perfect chips, right? A year and a half ago, they probably would have had, you know, hundreds of these at most. Now they might have thousands or tens of thousands of these chips that they could use in a 3090 Ti. And they've probably been setting some of these golden chips aside for the past year and a half, just waiting for the right time. Or maybe not, because cryptocurrency miners were going crazy and buying everything, so maybe they just sold them all. Right. And now that cryptocurrency is cooling off, they're like, we can start doing some other parts that we had maybe put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. The other reason is if you look at my modern gaming test suite in our GPU benchmarks hierarchy, without DirectX ray tracing games, the 6900 XT actually beats the 3090 in 1080p and 1440p performance overall. There are games that favor NVIDIA, games that favor AMD, so, you know. But overall, it's still faster with the 6900. The 3090 wins at 4K because the Infinity Cache doesn't help as much. Given another 5 to 10%, I think that swaps back. And so
NVIDIA can say, we're on top.
Yeah, they can lay claim to being the fastest card in most situations. I mean, there's still going to be games that are made and promoted by AMD that will still run better on AMD, I think.
Mm-hmm. So kind of in relation to our last comment, but I guess a little bit of speculation for the future, Aru2M says, I feel like this is a preview for the 4080 that's going to be, I assume this, but $1,000 cheaper. Do you think that sounds accurate? I feel like maybe that's a little optimistic about the 4080's price, but...
I don't know. I think a 4080 to $1,000 would make sense because the 3080 was supposed to be a $700 card, and you go, in retrospect, with everything that happened, it was too low, right? The demand was so high. Even without cryptocurrency mining, the demand was going to be higher than $700. Like, it just looked too good to be true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the 3 months after the card launched, they were selling at $1,100, $1,200, $1,300. And, you know, I kept saying, no, just wait. They'll come down. Supply will improve. And I was an idiot. And, you know, around 3-4 months later, that's when cryptocurrencies took off. And suddenly it's like, oh, snap, like, supply is not going to improve anytime soon, and the pandemic is making things worse, and now you can't buy them for $2,000. But 4080, assuming cryptocurrency doesn't fully mess things up again, and the supply is straightened out, and we do okay there, I think $1,000 for a 4080 makes sense. And then you'd have like a 4090 would be the $2,000 card. And maybe a 4080 Ti might be in the in-between if they want to do that later. We'll see.
So actually, there are some viewer questions that I still want to address, but you just raised something that I'm personally curious about. Obviously, this is major speculation, so we can't say anything super solid. But what do we even expect to see from the 40XX series this year? You know, I feel like most of us kind of skipped the 3000 series, not because it was bad, but just because we couldn't get our hands on it. I don't know if we're expecting the 4000 series to be more available, and how much of the 3000's power we expect it to like improve upon. Like, so Ru2M says this is a preview for the 4080. I don't know. Can we expect the 4080 to have 3090 Ti level power? And if it does, why buy this now unless you're like some rich
right fan? You know, we don't know, but here's the thing is Moore's law, Dennard scaling, it's all basically ended. And so if you look at the past several generations, the 1080 Ti, sorry, I got a bit of cold if you can't hear, the 1080 Ti, yes, was a 250 watt part. The 2080 Ti was technically a 260 watt part, but Well, actually, check this out. This is the 780. Can you see that? Oh, it's on my finger.
Yep, we can see it. Well, you talk about the logo.
Yeah. Yes. So this is your 780. This is your 980 Ti. They're the same size. They have the same power connectors. 1 8-pin, 1 6-pin. Both are 250 watt parts, right? Then we go along and the 1080 Ti. Oh, well, it upgraded things with performance, but it stuck with an 8-pin and a 6-pin. And if you compare size, it's still the same size, right? So those were built on 28 nanometer and 16 nanometer. Then we come to 12 nanometer 2080 Ti. We upgrade to dual 8-pin connectors. Size and we switch out the fans. It's dual fans now. Size-wise, they're still about the same. Let me line those up better. Like, the size didn't really change. I don't have the 3080 right next to me because we're talking Halo parts.
I'm amazed that you have all these cards just on hand.
I pulled them out and got them on hand to do this, right?
Your house is a dream for our audience.
This is
Oh my god. You're lifting.
This is my weight lifting. That's the 3090, and that's the same size as the 3090 Ti. You know, it's like taller. Let's see. It's taller and triple slot thick, and they went to the bigger 12-pin power adapter that supplies up to, theoretically, up to 600 watts, but in this case, you know, it was 350 watts. And the new ones, let's pull it out. Ah, tangled up in my cords. Okay, 3090. This is the ASUS Custom 3090 Ti. It's actually a little lighter than the 3090 Founders Edition. It only weighs 1.7 kilograms instead of like 2.2 kilograms. But thickness-wise, it's slightly thicker. You can't. It's hard to show that. Let's see. Can you see that? It is a little bit thicker.
Not a ton, just yeah. But I'll take your word for it.
It's okay, pretty close, yeah. Right? Yeah. But. But then we get the little octopus thing, right? The triple 8-pin power connectors.
The thing your cat likes to eat.
Yeah, well, he was playing with the 3090 connector that was sitting dangling a minute ago. But yeah, so now we've got triple, and each of these connectors can do 150 watts. So now this legitimately can power 450 watts. And it's big card. And one of the things that kind of torques me off about this is it's still got a dual slot connector. I'm sorry, I/O plate. Like even NVIDIA did that right. This has a triple slot I/O plate, and it's beefy, and it helps support the weight of the card. And all these cards that have like they're 3.5 slots wide. Why are we sticking on a dual slot I/O plate? I don't know. Like some of the cards come.
That's an issue with ASUS's cards specifically, right?
Well, no, it's not just ASUS. Like MSI has it. I think EVGA has it. Like Gigabyte has it. So many of the cards. There are some that have a triple slot cover, but a lot of them are still dual slot covers. And I'm like, you guys know this card weighs a lot. Like it has a huge cooler. When this is hanging in. I mean, EVGA's like people are laughing because they called it a GPU leash, and it's a little cord that you can hook up to the back and suspend from your case so that the bottom doesn't sag. And let me tell you, as a graphics card reviewer, I've used a lot of cards. I worry about supporting the back of the card when they're these big heavy cards. And in fact, you can kind of see it here. This is my test bed. MSI's their Supreme X, which, you know, I was showing that earlier. Big, fat, honking card that weighs 2 kilograms. They ship it with a kickstand. I think that's what they call it. That's adjustable height. And it's actually really useful if you don't move your PC around, because I'm like, yeah, I worry about sag and all that strain being stuck on the card. And back in the day, I did have GPUs that... Like, I had a heavy card that was in my system for a couple of years, and I noticed when I looked in it that the card like it angled downward
Right.
at the
So
end of the time. So
it's probably not great for it, but I have
yeah, it's
just
hard
a
on the PCIe
1080.
slot.
I have just a 1080 in my machine. And it's not supported by anything at all. It's really bad and jank. I need to upgrade. But I feel like whenever I open it up, it's still always sagging just a little
Yeah.
bit. I can't imagine mounting it that way. You would have to need either a support bracket or a I don't know. I'm tempted lately to start looking at those cases where you mount the graphics cards vertically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they're not a bad idea. The hard thing about them is now you've got your cases venting all the heat straight up into the air and you're like, "Oh, that's not that nice actually. It really heats up a room more."
Yeah, especially in a Brooklyn apartment, but
Yeah.
whatever.
But yeah, so I mean, the cards are big, they're heavy. I think this card was like 1670 or 1680 grams, so it's not even that heavy compared to some of the cards. Like the Founders Edition is probably 2.5 kilograms. I think the MSI card, Supreme X, is probably close to that 2.2 kilogram range. I said 2.5, I meant 2.2. It's not 2.5. I mean, like there were companies, like I used to review desktops from like Falcon Northwest and iPower and stuff back in the day when I was at Anontech. And some of them would, like one of them had like a foam packing thing where they would fill the inside of the case with like a memory, not memory foam, but a hardening foam. So they'd build it all and they would fill up the inside of the case with this wrapped plastic foam because that foam would support the graphics card during shipping. Others would ship it without the graphics cards installed and say, yeah, we don't want to damage the card or the PC, so you'll have to install the graphics card yourself. It's a real concern. Like you can't control how FedEx and UPS and such handle your packages. So, when you've got 3 to 5 pounds of weight hanging off of a couple of screws and no real support at the back end of the card, it's a concern.
I used to review laptops for us, and I did a few desktops in that time as well, and I know exactly what you're talking about people shipping them with foam. There is one audience question I want to look at, and then I want to start getting into the benchmarks you have run so far. So Javier Perea asks, he means a 3090 Ti, he
Does
says in
he?
the follow-up comment, but does the 3090 Ti have the record for power consumption at reference clocks? I mean, you were showing the different pin connectors earlier, but.
So there was the Titan Z, right? That was the dual GPU one. There was also a AMD had the 295 X2 or something like that, R9 295 X2. There was a dual GPU Fury. All of those dual GPU cards, like some of those pushed into that 375 watt range, as far as single GPUs for consumers, I believe 350 is or 450 is now far and away the record. I think outside of heavily factory overclocked cards, we never saw anything like 350 used to be the old record, and before that it was 260 of the Founders Edition 2080 Ti. And basically we were at 250 watts for all those cards I showed a few minutes back, like everything from like the, I want to say even going back like the GTX 600 500 series was probably maxing out at 250 watts. So all of a sudden like we've and like I said, Dennard scaling, the shrinking of transistors and lowering of power, Moore's law, it's kind of ended. And I actually asked Jensen about that at NVIDIA's recent thing, where they talked about Hopper. So this is interesting because it's related. The Hopper GH100 GPU, that's their next generation data center part, it's got a 700 watt TGP. And that's massive. And it draws that through a custom SXM interface. It's not running in a PCI slot, PCI Express slot. But the previous one was the Ampere GA100, the A100 chips. Those were only 400 watts. So Hopper is supposed to be like 3 times up to 6 times faster than Ampere A100. But it also uses 80% more power, something like that. And we don't have the like. So Ampere for consumers was made on Samsung's 8N process, 8 nanometer for NVIDIA. The GA100 chips were made on TSMC N7 or 7N, which is basically N7. And then this is made on TSMC 4N, but like it's not a, the shrink from 7 to 4 is very misleading. It's if you were like looking at actual transistor sizes, it's probably not quite that large. Anyway, they shrank the chip, the transistors a little bit, but power didn't shrink at all. And so in order to get all the extra performance that they wanted, they said, "Eh, we want the performance more than we want pure efficiency." So they made a 700 watt data center part. That's huge. And these what are they called? DGX systems. The DGX 8100 will have 8 of those. I'm like, just think of that. 8 700 watt GPUs sitting in a system plus the CPUs to run it. Like, realistically, that could use 6,000 watts of power. And so you'll need like 10,000 watt power supplies.
So what kind of air conditioner do you need to hook up to your
Yeah,
PC
exactly.
for that?
Yeah, well, those are for your data centers that have
Right.
massive environmental regulators. But anyway, so when you look at what happened on data center, that tells us that if they couldn't get good scaling from Ada or from Hopper for the data centers and power, they're probably not going to get that much better, or maybe not even better at all, power scaling on the consumer side. So we'll probably get faster chips running at higher power draw, and overall performance per watt will hopefully still improve, but it's not going to be like twice the performance per watt, I don't think. Maybe it will.
Gotcha. So we are about 40 minutes in yet so far. Let's look at some charts. So you sent me some test charts like from
Yeah.
various programs, then you sent me some game charts. Which of those do you want to look at?
Hey, let's poll the audience. Quick, vote. Press F
I
for games. All right.
think games, right?
Let's do games.
Okay, cool. Let
Nvidia
me
says it's not a gaming GPU, but we know it still kind of is, 'cause if you don't want a gaming GPU, you're probably buying the A6000 or A5000. So
Cool.
Borderlands 3. Badass settings, so using lots of memory. Keep in mind, this is a factory overclocked ASUS card, so it's not apples to apples comparisons, right? But we got, so if I'm actually pulling up the numbers here just for kicks. So in Borderlands, it's actually 13% faster.
Yeah, it's decent. That's like 10 more frames.
Yeah, that's a pretty good gap. But if you ran it in default mode, which would reduce the power a bit, I think it'd probably be more like, 76, 77 frames per second. So, there's a little bit of that. But still, that's one of the bigger jumps.
So a different game for maybe more
Oops. I don't know if something changed. Like it's hard to kind of troubleshoot, but I can tell you my Far Cry 6 numbers are down across the board for the 3090 Ti. I need to maybe look at that again and figure out if there's
Oh
something
yeah, it's
else going on.
weaker. It's weaker
Yep.
than the 3080 Ti.
Yeah, and so that's one of those like maybe a game patch came out that screwed things up. I'd still so these aren't like final charts. The final charts in the review might change, but it's still interesting, right? It's like, oh, why is the newcomer actually running worse? Maybe the new drivers need a bit of tuning. Maybe it's something else. I'll look into it. But that one did show a drop.
Yeah.
What else do we got? Red Dead Redemption. So this one supports DLSS. I tested it with and without DLSS. Without DLSS, it is 12% faster. So, we're running at the best case scenario. This is 4K ultra settings. And you got a 12% boost in performance from basically 84 to 94 frames per second. That's respectable. Turn on DLSS and that's in quality mode and it bumps it up to, 107 frames per second.
Even
DLSS
native,
is,
it's still 10 more
yeah.
frames.
DLSS does not help a lot in Red Dead Redemption 2. I will say that. So like even if you look at like my 3050 review, it's only getting like 10% more performance than native. So ray tracing games, it tends to help more. Let's see, Total War Warhammer 3, 13% better. 50 versus 44.4. But neither one is able to get 60 frames per second. So
Yeah. Why is
you'd have to
Warhammer
use.
3 so or Total War Warhammer 3 so demanding?
Don't know. So, you don't have the charts for these, but I can tell you at 1440p, it got 94 frames per second. And at 1080p, it got 126 frames per second.
It's an
And at.
RTS, right? Maybe it's just the amount of units on screen. I don't know.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying by those other figures for 1080p and 1440p is that this isn't CPU limited to 50 frames per second by any stretch. It's just the way their engine works, it doesn't scale to super high frame rates at 4K. It has trouble. But at 1080p, performance is basically tied between the 3090 and the 3090 Ti. So
Are all these in-game benchmarks that you're running with, or?
Yes, for these
Okay.
ones,
Because I
right?
don't know if I had seen Total War numbers on the show before, so I wanted to ask.
That's one of my newer games. And you can see there's other interesting results in it, but I yeah, like the 6800 XT and 6800, they both had very similar minimum FPS, but the 6800 XT was still faster. And then the final game that I've run so far is Watch Dogs Legion, and that one is a 10% boost in performance. So if we were running the Founders Edition 3090 Ti, I would guess the difference is going to be closer to 5% instead of 10% in the games. But in the games that I've run so far, we are getting pretty close to, well, we're getting double-digit gains at 4K in everything except Far Cry 6, which appears to have a problem, or I just need to reboot and retest that and see if that fixes things.
It's
But
probably something with this specific game. That's always the
yeah, they might have patched it. I might need to go and retest all of the other cards as well, because maybe Far Cry 6 released an update that hurt performance. It has happened before.
So we actually have a Facebook comment here that I think is interesting because it harkens back to something you said earlier in the show. Justin Coop says, "My 6900 XT is trash." Is that trash now, or it seems to be still be doing pretty good in these
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's sarcastic, but still.
So if you flip back through them, compared to the 3090 Ti, what the
I'm going to close the
6900.
comments so we can see more of the charts.
Yeah, so I'll give you the numbers. So in Borderlands 3, the 3090 Ti was 14% faster. It's 22% faster in Red Dead. It's 50% faster in Total War Warhammer 3. That's a big gap, but it's game engine doesn't, it's a DirectX 11 game engine. So, and Watch Dogs Legion was 23% faster than the 6900 XT.
And you said earlier that the 6900 XT is still better for like sub 4K stuff than like the 3090, right?
Then the 3090 it was beating. So like if I go 3090 versus the 6900 overall across the 8 games I tested, the 6900 XT was 4.5% faster at 1080p, 2% faster at 1440p, and then it's like 5% slower at 4K. And the big call out there is the 3090 only won in Red Dead Redemption 2 and Total War Warhammer 3. And it also wins at 1440p in Watch Dogs Legion, but everything
Didn't it
else
win in
went to
Borderlands?
Against the 3090, not the 3090
Oh,
Ti.
okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so at 1440p and lower resolutions, the 6900 XT still beats the 3090. And if I say what the ASUS card, you don't have these charts, but the 3090 Ti is generally faster at 1440p and 4K, and sometimes 1080p. It depends a little bit on the game, but you do definitely start to hit CPU limits at 1080p with either of those cards, really. Unless you're running a ray tracing game. And if you're running a ray tracing game, spoiler alert, the 3090 Ti is going to stomp all over AMD 6900
XT. I was going to ask about that. You do not like AMD ray tracing, correct?
Well, it's not that I mean, it's just lesser hardware. Like, so the 3090 Ti, they have 82 and 84 ray tracing units, RT cores is what NVIDIA calls them. And those are second generation ray tracing cores that they basically doubled the amount of power of compute resources that can be run on. I think it's the ray triangle intersections, but I could be wrong on that. But they did double down on something, and they said in general, not universally, but typically, it improves their ray tracing performance by 75%. So that if you had a 2080 running at 1 gigahertz and you had a 3080 running at 1 gigahertz, and hypothetically, now we'll just throw out the 2080 and 3080, but you had an Ampere and a Turing card, both with the same number of cores and RT cores and the same clocks, then in ray tracing calculations, the Ampere architecture would be 75% faster at ray tracing calculations. So AMD's side of things, they call theirs ray accelerators. We don't really know in terms of like low level details exactly. I need water. Sorry.
No exactly. Worries. We can end the show soon. I appreciate you joining us. For everyone who's not aware, Jared's a little bit sick right now, but
too much talking in the last hour. Anyway, we don't know how AMD's Ray accelerators directly match up to NVIDIA's.
And I lost my voice. If you need to go get water now, I can entertain the audience.
I really did lose my voice. Let me come back. Give me two minutes.
No worries. So let me actually focus on myself for a bit. Sorry about that, everyone. We did want to have Jared on to talk because he is our GPU expert, but you know, this is the issue with live shows and you know, people being a little sick, is you never know when something like this is going to happen. But I do appreciate having this chance to talk to you all one-on-one. I was going to save this for a little bit later in the show, but actually I can save it for later in the show because Jared is back. So let's finish up the 3090 topic before we get on to...
Shout out to Mike Kirkland Water. So ray accelerators on AMD, they seem to be similar to the Turing RT cores, right? And there's about the same number. AMDs are supposed to be clocked way higher, but you know, in ray tracing performance, in... Unless it's an AMD promoted game that only uses like ray tracing shadows, then basically NVIDIA wins by large margins. Gotcha. I want to say the 3070 Ti in my ray tracing benchmarks is faster than the 6900.
Gotcha. So,
which does not, incidentally, does not bode well for Intel's Arc chips.
That is something that Guru2M brought up earlier. Not sure if I can find the comment, but they brought up that perhaps the release of this card also helps distract from the Intel Arc news right now. I don't know if that seems more like a fringe benefit to me than anything else. But
well, if you think this 3090 Ti is kind of a weird announcement and launch and dumb, I haven't heard this from AMD, but there are rumors swirling that we'll get a 6950 XT, 6850 XT, and 6750 XT, and maybe even a 6650 XT. Like, it's a little crazy because I thought RDNA 3 was coming this year, but if we're going to get these refreshed cards in April, May, June, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, you know, it's one of these where... Maybe it's partly because we've been so long with GPU shortages that to kind of celebrate things, they're using the same chips, giving them a clock speed bump and renaming them, rebadging them. And, you know, hopefully prices don't go up on the MSRP, but they might. We'll see.
So Javier Freya asks, I know you're still
Oh,
mid-review, but because this is positioned as a content creation GPU, it would be nice to have some benchmarks of content creation comparing it with Apple M1 Ultra. Have you run any content creation tests yet,
I
or?
did. I sent you some slides.
Okay, cool. So let me see if I can
So
actually.
I've got Blender 3D rendering, V-Ray is also 3D rendering, Octane is 3D rendering. Those are like big content creation workloads.
Let me
And
go ahead
then
and open the Blender slides.
I've also got Spec View Perf 2020 V3. So
Cool.
the Blender benchmark 3.1 has three tests. There's Monster Junk. Was it Junk Room? Junk? I can't remember. You can
Monster Junk Shop
Junk
Classroom.
Shop. That's what it is. And Classroom. So, and this is, I emailed AMD on this. I'm still waiting back for a response on the 6800, but Blender 3.1 does use the Cycles X engine, which is accelerated on AMD. But wow, like, the 3090, 3090 Ti are nearly an order of magnitude faster than the 30 than the 6800 XT and 6900 XT. Flip to junk shop.
Give me just a second. Bop.
And the margins don't really change much. The 6800 is screwy. Like that was the other thing I emailed AMD about. I'm like, I know it's got like 25% fewer ROPS and it's clocked a little bit lower and it has fewer GPU cores, but it's less than half the speed of the 6800 XT. I'm like, is there something going on that and they'll hopefully get back with me and maybe it's just a driver glitch. But so don't worry too much about the bad 6800 result.
How much are these AMD GPUs like positioned for content creation versus the NVIDIA ones? Because
Well,
that's a
so
massive difference there.
yeah, so this is 3D rendering and specifically these have tie-ins through the Cycles X engines to use NVIDIA's RT cores and AMD's Ray accelerators. So, remember I said NVIDIA's are faster. Like, I don't know if this is like universally true, but if so, you get an idea of just how badly NVIDIA's ray tracing units beat the competition right now. And it's not always this big, but this is really complex ray tracing, right? This is professional path tracing, not just like real-time gaming ray tracing. So there's Junk Shop. Next one is the Classroom.
There we
Same
go.
margins, right? In fact, now it's 10x. It's over 10x faster. So take that for what it's worth. If you flip to the next one, we get to Octane, I think, right? Oh, that's
Geometry.
geometric.
There's
No. Yeah,
Octane.
so Octane, God rays. There's three different scenes. They have Octane accelerated via, I don't know if it's CUDA cores or just the GPU compute, but they have two modes. There's the regular mode and then there's the RTX mode. And so either way, it doesn't support AMD's GPUs right now, which is kind of interesting and maybe telling again that Octane OTOI didn't even feel the need to support AMD's hardware yet. So Octane God Rays, if you flip to the next, we've got God Rays RTX, which almost, I think it more than doubles the performance. Then we've got Havana, and then there's Havana RTX, doubles with performance with the ray tracing units. And then finally, there's the Plants and Plants RTX. Okay, so there's no AMD comparisons even available because you can't run these workloads on an AMD Radeon card right now. I guess either NVIDIA paid to do the work and so they only tied it into their hardware, or the developers haven't seen fit to support AMD.
So I don't think you have an M1 Ultra on
I do
hand to
not.
test
I
with.
do not, and like I'm not a Mac guy, but like I don't have an M1 Ultra. I don't have OS 10 or like I had. So I used to work for Anontech. Those of you who know who that is, right? Kind of our competitor, but I knew Anon pretty well, And the one time we were at a CES show, and I was trying to show him something. I was like, "Oh, I want to show you something." And he's like, "Well, here, just use my MacBook." And so he hands me his MacBook Pro, and he's like, "Yeah, just pull it up there." And I'm like looking at this. I'm like, "Okay." And he sees me like start moving around, and he just starts cracking up. He's like, "Dude, you don't even know OS 10 at all." And I'm like, "No, I don't." So I'm like trying to find. I don't even remember what it was, but I wanted to open like Notepad or something. And I'm like, "How do I open up just a?"
Just go to Spotlight,
Yeah.
Jared.
So I didn't know how to use it, and I'm sure I could learn it in a couple weeks of using it as a daily thing. But it was pretty funny. But yeah, like the problem with content creation comparing, Mac and PC is like you get different applications in some cases. Are you just doing video work? Because that's what the M1 Ultra really accelerates is they've put a lot of hardware into video acceleration, which interestingly, so has Intel with their Arc chips. Like they support hardware encoding and decoding on of AV1, which is not something any other vendors have done yet. I don't know if Apple does, but so it's they're different beasts. I think there will be workloads where M1 Ultra will wipe the floor with the 3090 Ti, and there will be workloads where, video encoding stuff where it will wipe the floor, in reverse. I don't know if I said that right, but
I
like there
think
will
I
be
did
cases
too.
where the 3090 Ti easily wins, and there will be cases where the M1 Ultra easily wins. And I think you won't see a lot of things where it's like really
About like
equivalent.
neck and neck.
Yeah. It will either be something that does the stuff that M1 Ultra does well or needs the stuff that it does well, or it will be something that doesn't do that, and then the 3090 Ti will just brute force its way to the top. And of
Gotcha.
course, the M1 Ultra is like a 60-watt chip compared to a 450-watt GPU.
So we are running up on time, and we
Ooh.
have one announcement that I was hinting at earlier when you were getting water. But before we get to that announcement, it's just like, what are your wrapping up thoughts on the 3090 Ti? Those gaming benchmarks were actually more impressive than I was expecting them to
Yeah.
be. I don't know, $500 more,
Well, if you
impressive,
go back
but.
and look at them closely, like rewind the video if you're watching this, go look at the 3080 performance. Because, if you compare the ASUS 3090 Ti to the bog standard Founders Edition 3080, like it's overall, it's probably going to be up to 25% faster. But theoretically, that's three times the price for 25% performance increase. It's the same old diminishing
At a
gains that we
certain
always see.
diminish, yep. So who should buy this? I feel like there's two options. There's the rich kids, like you said earlier, and then there's the people who are, I guess, really impatient and can write it off as a business expense. Like,
Yeah, I
oh,
mean, like if
if
you
this generates X amount of dollars for me by saving me X amount of time on my rendering or whatever.
Yeah, like even a 10% reduction in render times, it can be significant. So the real question there is like, if that's significant enough to invest the money, are there cases where this is going to be faster than the NVIDIA A6000? And I would guess probably, because interestingly, the A6000, the A series in general, they don't use GDDR6X memory. It's too hot and too power hungry. Go figure. And this is also interesting. AMD doesn't use GDDR6X. They use GDDR6, and their refresh is reportedly moving to 18 gigabits per second memory, which they've also got on their 6500 XT and their limited edition 6900 XT liquid cooled, right? So it's like GDDR6, I think, is more power efficient than GDDR6X, and it already clocks up to 18. So I'm like, well, if you're using like twice as much power on memory to get that last 10%, like that's not really good.
Especially if you're taking costs into account.
Yeah, but GDDR6 is also available, I think, in 4 gigabyte chips, which is not an option on. No, that's not right. It's because the A6000. Remember how I said they do that clamshell mode? So they use 2 gigabyte chips and put them on both sides of the PCB, and so they've got 24 chips. But GDDR6X or GDDR6 doesn't run as fast and doesn't use as much power, so they can do that and still, you know, they get enough bandwidth and for those workloads that need 48 gigabytes. So again, like, who's it for? If you need 24 gigabytes and you need the extra bandwidth of GDDR6X, or you just want to use the consumer cards because they cost less, like, maybe. But if you can justify buying it for that sort of workload, the A6000 48 gigabyte card is over twice as expensive as this. It's like $4,700, $4,650. So it's a big step up to the professional cards.
Right.
But they but do I have other benefits.
For the individual like tech enthusiast, yeah. I hate to say it because we've been saying this for every GPU that's come out over the course of the pandemic, but I feel like the idea here again is wait and see what succeeds this, right?
Yeah, I would see what Ada brings us and see what RDNA 3 brings us. And maybe, I mean, I don't expect Intel to take top spot or maybe even the bang for the buck spot. But if you like doing video encoding, maybe Intel is going to be very promising. I think it'll be interesting to see where their stuff lands, but I'm especially
interested to see Intel's competition with Apple, because I know that they've really ramped up their sort of anti-Apple marketing lately ever since Apple's moved to its own
silicon. Yeah, they're a little pissed off about losing Apple's business, aren't they?
Yeah. We can talk about that on future shows, which brings me to the next topic. And I know we're a little bit over time, but I wanted to address this with you all. Today is my last day as host of the Tom's Hardware Show, because I am moving on from the publication to a new job. My last day is tomorrow, Friday. It's been so great joining you all. It's been so great being able to host the stream and talk with, you know, the regulars like Ruru2M or Javier Freya, or like, and it's been so nice having, you know, Jared and Andrew and Avram on to guests and then outside guests. But I'm moving on to other pastures. So next week we will be back, but instead of me, we're going to be having Jared on as the new host. So it's good to be able to have him to guest on today. We were going to have a different guest today, but unfortunately that guest is down with COVID.
I don't have COVID, thankfully.
Hope he gets better. Everyone's getting sick right now. But yeah, thank you for stepping in to take over hosting duties, Jared. And I'm excited to see where you take the show going forward.
Yeah. And if you really don't like me and you want her back or you want something better, you know, hopefully if I don't work out, we'll have someone else to replace me.
I'm sure you'll do great.
Hopefully we'll have my voice back properly next week too.
Tom's is always open to feedback. So please feel free to stop by our forums and let your voices be known, and to put your comments in the boxes throughout the shows. We're always looking at them. We always want to be available to you. But for now, thanks everyone. For now, this is the end of the episode, end of my time on the Tom's Hardware Show, but I wish you all the best, and I wish you the best, Jared, in future episodes.
Thanks. Hey, it's been great having you with us, and best of luck in your new endeavors. I'm sure you will land on your feet, as they all do.
Thank you, Jared. So we will see you next week. Jared will be hosting, and I'm excited to see where he takes it. For now, though,
we'll talk about MacBooks.
he's gonna do an on-screen learning, like Jared learns how to use a MacBook. What? But I don't know. we did. There we go. We got our YouTube thumbnail. But for now, we'll see you later next Thursday at 3 p.m. Bye, everyone.